So I was thinking that today is a good day to talk about some spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Like I said, I've known that I'm going to preach for like a few weeks now. And Ephesians chapter 6, that portion of the scripture has been so heavy on my heart. And it was interesting when Pastor rounded up the Unprecedented series last week. And he talked about the battle that happened a few years ago between North and South Korea. I don't know whether I remember that part of the message last week, but that was how it opened. And he mentioned the fact that the U.S. became ally, you know, with South Korea. And they positioned their, you know, weaponry, and they display maybe the aircraft and all the weaponry that they have just to, you know, scare the enemy away. And he said he was pondering on a question that how does God react, you know, when you are in a battle? When you feel like, you know, life is weighing you down. When you feel like things are not going the right way. You know, how does God react? But can I tell you that weeks ahead, when I've known that I'm going to preach, I've been thinking, when we are faced like we currently are now in unprecedented times, things happening around us, we don't even know how things are going to turn out tomorrow. We are believing God for the best, of course. But what should our response be? You know, Pastor talked about what is God's response. And he said, God is writing our story. Whatever challenges that comes our way is writing a new story. But what should my response and your response be in that place of battle? That's what we're going to look at this morning. Let's read a verse of the scripture for emphasis from where we took the Bible reading from, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. It says, therefore, Ephesians 6 and 13, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Can we have a word of prayer together? Father, we just appreciate your presence in this place. Your word says where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are right in the midst of them. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be transformed again by your word. Father, I pray for myself this morning that, Lord, you give me utterance. The word that you've given me, I ask that you give me the grace to deliver it accurately in the name of Jesus. And I pray for everyone listening to me, listening to this message, whether here or online. Father, we pray that you speak to every heart this morning. Lord, the Bible says that you train our hands for war and our fingers for battle. Therefore, we ask that you train us again this morning. We have come to sit down at your training ground. Father, we ask that you train us for the battle that we're in and that is ahead of us. Thank you, Father, for you only be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. 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 The first thing I want you to know this morning is you need to be aware that you are in a battle. You are in a battle. There's a battle going on. And by the way, the battle is not physical. There's a spiritual battle going on. There's a battle for our lives. There's a battle for our children. There's a battle for our jobs. There's a battle for our health. You know, name it, there's a battle. Because every time there's a battle, there is something at stake, right? There is always something at stake. I remember growing up in a family of nine, you know. You can imagine the number of fights I've been in. I'm still standing. Especially, my immediate younger child is a boy, okay? So you can imagine, he wants to show that he's got power and superiority, and I want to show that I'm older than you. So there's always a fight. But the interesting thing is the fight is always for something. You know, you see little kids fighting over a toy. You know, as we grow older, we fight for, you know, things that when I think about now, I'm like, why are we even fighting for that? We fight for who's going to sit in the front of the car with dad driving or mom driving, you know. We fight over games, you know. We fight over positions, you know. And as we grow older, you know, we still fight for something. The point I'm trying to make it is there is a battle in the spiritual realm, and the battle is for something. It's for your peace, you know. It's for your health. It's for your, you know, it's there is something at stake. Look with me at verse 12 of Ephesians 6. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So when we realize that we're in a battle, that is what determines how we fight. Imagine being in a battle and you don't even know. Imagine South Korea, the ally just show up and they're like, okay, what's going on? You know, they will have even taken them away before the allies get there if they don't know that they're in a battle. So it's very important that we know that we're in a battle. Battle for our children, battle for our convictions, battle for our marriages, battle for our families, for our future. You know, some of us have kids that don't know the Lord. There's a battle for their souls. Some of us have gotten bad reports from the doctors. Some of us have lost their jobs, even with the current COVID situation that is going on. So there's financial battle. The good news is you are not alone. You are not alone. We are all in this together. I'm sure you've heard that phrase so many times in current times. We are all in this together. If you know the Lord, if you have professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is a battle going on. Whether you know it, whether you feel it or not. But I'm just begging you this morning to be aware that there is a battle going on. Number two, when there's a spiritual warfare, you have to be accurate. So you are not only, you know, aware, you have to be accurate. What do I mean by that? Who you fight is as important as how you fight. It's as important as the fight. Imagine if I'm fighting with Mufaro, right? I'm supposed to be fighting with Mufaro, you know, and I face Georgia, you know. Don't you think, okay, I'm fighting Mufaro, and Mufaro is facing Georgia. Don't you think I would take Mufaro out? Because he's fighting the wrong enemy, right? He's fighting the wrong thing. So you need to be accurate. Look at that verse 12 again. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age." When you are having challenges in marriage, the person you should be fighting is not your spouse. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not that boss at work. It's not your children. You know, it's not that neighbor. You are fighting a higher force in the realm. It's just manifesting physically. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil." Your adversary is the devil. "He walks around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour." The adversary is the devil. So you need to focus your target where it needs to be. And anytime we are not fighting the right target, the devil always wins, don't you think? The devil always wins when we fight each other. And of course, one of us always loses. Imagine I have a fight with my husband, you know, and there's an argument, you know, and he wins. He wins that argument, you know, and eventually I keep quiet. That doesn't happen often, but he wins that argument and, you know, do you really think he's won? Don't you think he's going to pay for it? Okay, all right, that's just by the way. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy." but have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That is Jesus talking. So that's what the thief has come to do, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is the enemy. He is the adversary. But do you know what? It doesn't appear to you with a pitchfork in red and black, you know, like they portray in movies. The Bible says that he schemes. Look at 2 Corinthians. I think we have 2 Corinthians projected, chapter 2, verse 11. He says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Another translation says his schemes. We cannot be ignorant. We have ascertained that the devil is the adversary. He's the one we should be fighting in the realm of the spirit. But we should also know of his schemes. We should not be ignorant of his schemes, of the way he does it. So when we are talking about the schemes of the devil, what does he do? But first, what is the devil really after? Remember what I said, that when there's a battle, there's always a battle for something. Is it that house? Is it your money? Is it your health? Is it your peace? Because that is what it feels like is under attack. Is it the peace in your home? Is that what the devil is really after? There is a story of a man in the Bible that every time I think about it, you know, it just encourages me. Can we look at Job? There's a man in the Bible called Job. Let's look at Job chapter 1. In verse 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. So this man is perfect. This man had everything. This man feared God, just like you and I, right? And even when, you know, from time to time, he's very diligent. From time to time, he will say, okay, maybe my children have sinned, you know. He will make sacrifices, you know, for his children, for forgiveness of sin. He is upright. But one day, there was a conversation that happened in the heavenlies. Look with me in verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth. Take note of that. He goes to and fro on the earth. And from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions and have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So what is the devil really after? Do you think he's the children? Do you think he's everything that Job has? He's trying to derail him. He's trying to get him from serving God, basically. He's trying to get his soul. He says, I'm going to destroy all these things so that he can curse you to your face. And what happens when he curses God? That means he stopped believing in God, basically. That is what the devil is really after. And that's what I want you to know this morning. We should not be ignorant. You know, you can go through challenges. You can lose that job. You can go through some health issues. God will bring you out on the other side. That is not what is at stake. It is your faith that is at stake. It is where you are in God that is at stake. What is he after? He's after your passion for God. He's after your passion for God. Did you see how passionate Job was? He's after that passion. He wants to kill that passion. And that, if you continue reading the story, you know, Job became depressed. He lost all his children in one day. He lost his livelihood. He lost his finances. Even his wife told him to curse God and die. Everything just happened overnight. You know, you can imagine how depressed he was. But, you know, he's trying to get you to lose your passion for God, passion for the things of God. Because of that, the devil entices you. You know, we're talking about the schemes of the devil right now. He entices you with sin. He deceives you with doubts. He makes you to begin to doubt God and start asking why, like Job did. And even start doubting the very existence of God. When the trouble gets too much, he afflicts you with trouble, with disease. That is the schemes of the devil. So you begin to lose interest in the things of God. You begin to lose interest in things that pertains to God. You lose appetite for the word. You lose the fire for the things of God. The love that you have for God in the first time when you believed, you begin to lose it. That is the enemy's scheme, is after your passion. The second thing the enemy is after is your power. In the series we just did, Pastor talked about unprecedented authority. He's trying to get to the authority that you have as a believer. If you don't have authority, how can you speak to situations and command them? How can you speak to situations and change things around by the name of Jesus? How can you stand in the blood of Jesus when you've lost that confidence, you've lost that power? It's after your power. You begin to lose your spiritual standard. Anything goes. All the things that you say, okay, these are non-negotiables, it becomes, okay, whenever it's convenient. You begin to stop praying. You know, maybe you used to pray 15 minutes before. You know, you don't even feel like praying anymore. It becomes whatever will be. You become spiritually slothful and careless. That is what the devil is after. And that's what happened to Samson. Samson in the Bible, I'm sure you know the story. Samson was powerful. He was blessed. And he got to a time that the enemy, you know, attacked the power that God has given him. And because he was slothful, he was careless, he was not watchful, it was taken from him for a moment. The same thing with David. David was a mighty warrior. He at the time he was king, he was conquering kingdoms. You know, and he got to a point, a time when he was supposed to be at war, he decided to stay home. And that was when he saw Bathsheba taking a bath. And that was how he committed adultery. That was why he went ahead and killed Bathsheba's husband, because the devil derailed him. Also, number three, the devil is after your purpose. He wants to redirect you from serving God, from your purpose. Life is not just waking up, having children, taking them to school, you know, and before you know it, you are 80 years old. Life is much more than that. God put us here for a reason. He wants us to make a mark. He wants us to, that when we leave this place, we are taking some people with us. He wants us to be impactful. He wants us to be the light and the salt of our world. Psalm 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You don't want to go to the house of the Lord anymore. I'm sorry to say, this, you know, COVID situation that happened, you know, unfortunately, some people are going to go back. They're going to go back because, you know, the purpose is, you know, the devil has derailed the purpose. You know, they're not focused anymore. He tried to shift your focus from others to me, myself, and I. It takes you away from a place of spiritual covering like this. Takes you away from godly friendship. You have offense with your friend who you know will tell you the truth. It takes you from a place of covering. You know where anytime you're planted in a place like this, you know you have a spiritual covering. But when the enemy wants to attack, one of the schemes is to take you out of there. Because he knows that when you are there, you know, he can't come in. So that's why you need to stay in church. You need to stay connected. You need to stay under that covering. You cannot go away from that covering, no matter what is going on. That is where you get recharged and re-energized. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." But ultimately, the devil is battling to get to your soul. Job 1:11 again, it says that he will surely curse you to your face. He wants to take you away from your faith in God. He wants to take you away from making heaven. He wants to take you with him to hell where he belongs. Praise the Lord. That is why we need to be aware. That is why we need to be accurate. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12 says, "You need to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life." You lay hold on eternal life when you fight the good fight of faith. Let us not be ignorant of the enemy's devices. So we've talked about you need to be aware. You need to be accurate to fight the right person, to fight the right things. But number three, you need to use the right artilleries. You need to use the right weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." We can't use carnal weapons to fight spiritual battle. It's not possible. We can't use carnal worldly strategies. We can't use revenge. We can't use revenge to fight someone that has done wrong to you. The Bible says you overcome evil with good. You can't use divorce to solve, emotional issues in marriage. That is a worldly way. I'm just giving you examples this morning. But there are some conventional weapons that are mentioned in that Ephesians chapter 6. I'm just going to run through it quickly. It talks about the belt of truth. You know, the belt of truth that gives you support. It's knowing and doing the truth. That's your integrity. And that's what the devil attacks with lies. It talks about the breastplate of righteousness, which is the purity of your heart. Standing on the blood of Jesus that purchased our redemption, the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus. So the devil attacks that purity with lust. It talks about gospel of peace, peace with God, yourself, and others. There's no way you're in conflict or offense with people that you will have peace. And that's what the devil attacks. He attacks you, he attacks that peace with worry. Another conventional weapon is the shield of faith, trusting God and his promises, even when things are not going right. Praise God. All right. So that's what the enemy attacks. We're talking about conventional weapons, shield of faith, trusting God and his promises when things are not going right. When it begins to throw fiery darts, the Bible, that place talk about the fiery darts of the enemy. Darts of doubt, darts of discouragement, of disease, of delay, of difficulties, of depression, of defeat. We use the shield of faith for that. It talks about the helmet of salvation, which is the helmet that protects your mind, gives you sanity. When you can't make sense of what is going on, like Job, that's sanity. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is another weapon. Remember Jesus fought the devil with the word? He quoted the word back to him. He says, "Get behind me, Satan. This is what the word says." It's a weapon. And just a point on that is the word of God does not become a weapon, in the pages of this book. It's when you actually speak it out. Possibly memorize it and speak it out. That's when you're actually using that weapon. But there are also some unconventional, weapon, like praise. Remember Paul and Silas in prison? They were singing and dancing, and the gates of the prison gates opened, and the chains fell off their hands. It says in Psalm 149, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hands to execute vengeance." That is what that is a weapon, praise. Joy is another unconventional weapon. When things are not going right and you decide to choose joy anyway, You choose joy from the inside, not affected by what is happening outside around you. Another unconventional weapon is our testimony. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. When you stand out and say, God has done this for me. But as I conclude this morning, this is actually where I'm going. Everything I've said is actually, you know, building up to this. We've talked about you need to be aware. You need to be accurate. You need to use the right artilleries. But I want you to give you a major strategy, you know, that makes this all work. And that is what I read this place in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. By the way, that's the title of my message this morning. I'm not so big on titles. I just want to talk. You need to stand. You need to stand. You need to stand your ground. You know, stand is a key word in that section of Ephesians 6. It says, stand therefore. Stand, stand. A few times it was used in that section, that small section of Ephesians 6. It's a military term for holding on to a position that is under attack. You're holding on. You say, I'm not giving up. That is a position that we need to take in this battle that we are in. It implies courage to hold your ground because of your allegiance. And who is our allegiance with? The King of Kings, the man of war, Jesus. So even when others are fleeing the battle, we have been called to take a stand. We have been called to take a stand. When you feel, you know, when you feel that pain, when you feel deep in that trouble, what do you need to do? Stand. 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 And when do we stand? We stand before the battle. We stand during the battle. We stand after the battle. And then we repeat. We repeat. We need to stand. Look with me in that Ephesians 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Number one, you need to stand in the Lord. You need to stand knowing who you are and whose you are. You need to know that God is for you and not against you. When you are standing, you are not standing alone. If you have declared Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are not standing alone. When you are standing your ground and saying, I'm not going to be moved, you are not doing it alone. It is right there with you. And I want you to always remember, he is there. I'm standing in the Lord. I'm standing in the Lord. Because the Lord is standing for, with, and by me. Praise the Lord. Stand in his power. Stand in his word. Stand in his presence in prayer. Stand in his peace. Stand in his power. But don't ever forget, you belong to him. There was a story in the Bible, in 2 Kings chapter 6, when the army wanted to attack the prophet Elisha. And Elisha was not moved, but he's got a servant that was very fearful. And he was like, they're going to take us down. What are we going to do? But Elijah said, don't worry. And as he became more fearful, Elisha decided to pray. And he said, okay, Lord, I want you to open his eyes. Let him see that those that are with us are more than those that are with them. And the Lord opened the eyes of that servant and he saw the armies that are with them, that are ready to battle on their behalf. That is the encouragement I have for you this morning. You are surrounded by warring angels. You are not alone. You are not alone. He's standing right there for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Praise the Lord. So we stand in the Lord, and look at verse 11 of Ephesians 6. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we stand in the Lord, we stand against the devil. We reject, we refuse, We declare, when things are not going right, you stand your ground. You say, no, devil, shut up. It's not a time to cower down. It's not a time to, to get into depression. It's not a time to try to figure things out on your own. It's time to tell the devil, you don't belong here. It's time to chase the devil out. How many people have seen that movie, War Room? It got to a point where that lady, when, you know, the marriage was about to crash, it got to a point she couldn't take it anymore. And she began walking around the house and talking to the devil. And that's where we started from, being aware. You need to be aware that there are spiritual forces in heavenly places and you need to speak to. Prayer is not only talking to God, it's also speaking to the devil. So you need to get to that point when you are taking a stand. You are walking around your house, you are praying in the Holy Spirit, you are calling things the way they are supposed to be. You are calling the name of your children and you are declaring health over them. You are declaring awesomeness over them. You are declaring that your case is different. You are proclaiming that you have that job. Whatsoever is hindering it, you are standing against it. The Bible says every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You shall condemn. We have that authority. We have that power in the name of Jesus. And remember, we are standing in the Lord. Oh, it's our backing. You know when we started talking about fights, when you want to get into a fight, you know, maybe in primary, you can't do that anymore. Okay, for the kids that are listening to me. When we were growing up, we have a place where, you know, if you want to show superiority. By the way, I'm not part of that, but we know where it happens. Where you meet after school and you go and fight. But if you have a older brother, you know, in a higher grade, and that brother is coming with you to that fight, you are going and walking like this because you know that those guys are in trouble. That is a picture I want to have in your mind as you are walking around your house and declaring the word of God and the promises of God, that God is there with you. Don't be afraid. And that's why I know, you know, a lot of people don't talk about spiritual warfare in church. We keep it to our prayer meetings only. But we need to talk about spiritual warfare in church like we are doing this morning. We need to be aware and we need to take our stand. Praise the Lord. So we reject, we refuse whatsoever is not of God. When you are taking a stand, you are being vigilant. You are being watchful. You are not slothful. Romans 12:11 says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. You are taking charge. That's what it means to stand. You keep doing what you know to do. You keep reading that Bible. And I'm not talking about a verse a day that chases the devil away. I'm talking about you actually getting and knowing the word. You are taking time to pray. I'm not talking about just pray, you know, just praying to tick the register that I've done my quiet time today. You know, the kind of prayer that you pray, even if it's 5 minutes, you know you've touched heaven. That's the kind I'm talking about. You're saying no to the devil. Things might not be working right, but you have the power to turn it around. You have the power to choose joy right in the middle of it because you know that is not the end of the story. That should be our response. Praise the Lord. As I round up, as I conclude this morning, what does winning look like at the end of the day when we have taken that stand against the wiles and the schemes of the devil? What winning looks like is when we are able to get out of our house without fear. When you are able to send your children to school without fear. When you are able to make decisions that is not dependent on fear, that is not based on fear. That is what it takes. That is what it means to take a stand. That is what it means to win. When the enemy loses his grip and his hold, when you are not giving room to the enemy, the Bible says we should not give place to the devil. That's what it looks like to win. When you are victorious, when you are above, you know, when you have a feeling of being above, you know, the things that keep you down. When you stop worrying, that is when you win. Not only when that situation has changed completely. But when you begin to take charge, you begin to have that feeling of winning. We are on the winning side, people of God.
Can you tell someone we are on the winning side? We are on the winning side. When you stand, Jesus stands right there with you. Don't ever forget that. When you stand, he stands right there with you. He stands right there with you. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. After he's told us to take a stand, to put on our weapons, to have our weapons and to put it on, he says we need to take a stand. But how do we take a stand? Is in the place of prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It's in the place of prayer is where we get dressed for battle. It's in the place of prayer is when we take that stand. So I want you to begin to pray this morning as I close. I want you to pray for strength. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I want you to begin to ask for strength from the Lord. Say, Lord, strengthen me. I know there's a battle in the heavenly realms, in the spiritual, that is manifesting in the physical all around me. That these things that are happening is not just natural happenings, but it's happening in the spiritual. I want you to strengthen me to fight and win this battle. I don't want to use carnal weapons. I don't want to use things that are not according to your word, according to your will. But Lord, continue to teach me, teach my fingers to war, my hands to battle. Strengthen me, O God. Open my eyes to see the help that I have. Open my eyes to see that you are right here with me, leading me in victorious victory. Lord, we need your help this morning. We don't want to be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Lord, I pray for everyone here this morning that they will be aware of the battle going on in their lives. They're not going to be only aware, but they will fight accurately in the name of Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone here will be able to use the right weapon for the right situation. The shield of faith, the peace of God, the belt of truth. And as we do, and we grow more in godly, in Christ-like character, that the devil will not see us anymore, but he will see you in us, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let there be a release of your strength today. And we shut you up. We condemn every tongue rising against us in judgment this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus.